responsible for another man's soul. You will have to be courageous if you want to enter Christ's promised kingdom today. We can't expect that our Christian leaders are going to lead their followers into the path. Perhaps they feel too much is at stake for them. Pity, for they are the losers. It was the same in the day of Christ's first coming. It's not something new. Jesus himself told his followers that. Prophecy.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Christ warned people against those leaders who claimed that the spiritual law was in their hands. Yet they themselves turned aside from the messenger of God when he came, the very one whose coming they were instructed to be awake and to watch for. In Luke chapter 11, verse 52, Jesus said, prophecy.
Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered.
So we see that in this day we must act according to our own feelings and our own inner beliefs. No man, no spiritual leader can tell us what our own heart tells us. Yet, beloved friends, you may be sure that there will be many wonderful heroic clergymen in these days who will accept Baha'u'llah, just as there were in the early days of Christianity, who will hear Baha'u'llah's message and accept it. Many already have. Over 400 of the leading clergymen accepted this faith in the land of its birth in its first years. Others are following. Priests, ministers, monks, nuns, sisters, bishops, archbishops, many religious leaders among the Christians today will hear the sound of Baha'u'llah's voice. Christ said, my sheep will know my voice. These religious leaders will enter the faith of Baha'u'llah, and they will outshine by their deeds even those great heroes and heroines of the early days of Christianity. They are all around you now, waiting. Tell them the truth, and the sincere will respond. Be sure, if their hearts are prepared, they will accept. Teach them.
Thinking men and women everywhere in the world are beginning to realize that the world has no positive answers to its problems. They are on the watch for help, wherever they can find it. The time is ripe. We must act.
We must teach, we the Baha'is. We must know that the one for whom Christ instructed his followers to watch has come. Christ said that the Spirit of truth would lead men to all truth. That Spirit of truth has come. The one who has the answers to all their problems has appeared. It is Baha'u'llah. It is up to us to tell the world about this in every city, town, village, and countryside. Beloved friends, our time together for this study class is rapidly coming to an end, for this is our final day together, and we've been able to mention but a few of the wonderful prophecies fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. Even so, I feel sure that many of your friends who've been listening have already heard more than enough to make them want to open their hearts to Baha'u'llah and to embrace his faith, the Baha'i faith. To these seekers, may I say that when you become a Baha'i, you will learn more and more marvelous things about his faith all the days of your life. Every year will bring you a richer, a deeper understanding, and a greater happiness as you immerse yourself in the ocean of Baha'u'llah's teachings. For Baha'u'llah, remember, is the Redeemer of men.
Never be discouraged if people turn away from you at the first as you try to teach them or disagree with you. Be patient. Perhaps your family may refuse to listen, or perhaps some of them may look on you as strange. They may even be unkind or insulting or antagonistic, but you must be friendly, patient, and understanding.
Love them. Be kind, be courteous, be friendly. Those are commands of Baha'u'llah. After all, such opposition and antagonism was itself foretold in the scriptures for the last days, wasn't it? That was another prophecy. It is another proof that Baha'u'llah really is the promised one. Prophecy.
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid.
Isn't it true? In his book, The Heritage of the Anglo-Saxon Race, pages 133-34, M.H. Goyer, a millennial Christian scholar, declared, I'm quoting him now, the skepticism and unbelief so prevalent concerning the second advent of Christ is in itself a sign of the last days. St. Peter tells us, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's in 2 Peter 3:4. Now, one hears these, this is still a quotation from Goyer, one hears these very words everywhere today, even among the leaders of the church. This terribly momentous event, return of Christ, is regarded with incredibility as visionary. End of quotation.
It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or feels. It's what you think and feel. The story has been told to the world, beloved friends, time and again. Don't you be one of those who are spiritually blind and deaf.
Arise, because this is the day and the hour to recognize and accept your Redeemer, Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the return of Christ. Become one of his teachers. Help spread his message around the world. In the words of St. Paul, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's in Hebrews 2:1-3. Isaiah tells us in chapter 30 of his book, that in this day the teachers of God will no longer be withdrawn from society. In the day of the Holy One, everyone will see these teachers, Isaiah says. They will proclaim his word, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And many of you know already that Baha'i teachers are pioneering in all parts of the world now. They are constantly on the move, traveling every day into the far corners of the earth. They're pioneers. They don't receive anything for the work they do. No pay. They do it because they love God and Baha'u'llah and the people of the world. The book of Psalms echoes this movement of the teachers too. This is also a prophecy. This is chapter 68, verse 11.
The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it.
This same chapter of the book of Psalms declares that all this would take place in the day when he, the promised one, would scatter the kings, exactly as Baha'u'llah has done. Isaiah, in chapter 30 of his book, also describes the new song that will be sung in the mountain of the Lord. His glorious voice, Isaiah says, will be heard everywhere. His teachers shall have a song of holiness, Isaiah tells us. I'm quoting now, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord. After Baha'u'llah reached the Holy Land and walked on the side of Mount Carmel, he spoke of the song which God had stirred within his being. These are the words of Baha'u'llah.
Thou beholdest, O my God, how every bone in my body soundeth like a pipe with the music of thine inspiration.
End of quotation. That's on page 111 of Prayers and Meditations of Baha'u'llah. And let's hear still another prophecy.
Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose.
The plain of Acca where Baha'u'llah walked, and the rocky slopes of the wildernesses of Mount Carmel where he pitched his tent, have now been transformed into beautiful gardens with different colored flowers, including many varieties of roses. Indeed, the wilderness and the desert have blossomed, as Isaiah promised. In the same chapter in which Isaiah said the glory of the Lord would appear and the nations would flow unto him, Isaiah also makes two other prophecies, both of which have been fulfilled by Baha'u'llah, the glory of the Lord. For example, prophecy.
Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary.
When you visit the Holy Land and go to the shrine of Baha'u'llah, you will see in the midst of that once arid spot green lawns, flowering vines and trees, and blossoms of every hue and description. The tomb and sanctuary of Baha'u'llah has been beautified. It is a magnificent jewel in that lovely setting, nestled amidst the cypress and evergreen trees. Your eyes will drink in the beauty of the araucaria, the eucalyptus, the fig, and the olive trees. Poinsettias, citrus, cacti, and thyme refresh the spirit and rest the eye. Baha'u'llah's sanctuary has indeed been beautified, and it will be even more so in the future. Same chapter of Isaiah, same verse, prophecy.
And I will make the place of my feet glorious.
Wherever you go in the Holy Land where the feet of Baha'u'llah have walked, you will see lovely gardens of matchless beauty. Those attractive red stone paths and white stone paths lead the way to imposing structures of stately beauty and grace. Roses of every hue, jacaranda trees, flame-colored flamboyant trees, flowering bougainvillea of many shades, crimson geraniums, are seen on all sides. You will see some of the most beautiful gardens to be found in all of the world. And these are all places where the feet of Baha'u'llah, the glory of the Lord, have walked on the mountain of God and in the plain of Acca. The place of Baha'u'llah's feet has indeed been glorified. And here is yet another intriguing prophecy. This one is from Ezekiel. It is from the very same chapter in which Ezekiel prophesied that the glory of the Lord would come to his house in Israel by way of the gate from the east. And when he came, Ezekiel said, in his words, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then, says Ezekiel, prophecy.
Chapter 43, verse 7. I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever.
The shrine of Baha'u'llah stands there on the historic plain of Acca. It is the area which Hosea said would be a door of hope for mankind. All the world knows where Baha'u'llah is entombed. No one knows for certain where His Holiness Moses is buried, nor can they be certain which of the places claimed by his various followers is the exact site of the tomb of His Holiness Christ. But the beautified sanctuary of Baha'u'llah and the glorified paths of his feet are known to all. Prophecy.
Isaiah chapter 35, from verses 2 and 4. Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. Behold, your God will come. He will come and save you.
Baha'u'llah, whose name means the glory of the Lord, came to Mount Carmel, which looks down upon the plain of Sharon. What an astonishing story. In that same chapter, Isaiah says that the eyes of the blind shall be open and see the truth. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and they shall hear the truth. The parched ground will become green and verdant. The ransomed people of the Lord shall return from all parts of the world to that spot, rejoicing. And who is Isaiah speaking of? He is speaking about Baha'u'llah, no one else, as you have seen. Baha'u'llah fulfilled all of these wonderful prophecies. Baha'u'llah came to Mount Carmel, that mountain of God. Baha'u'llah has written saying, and we are quoting him now,
O peoples of the earth, this is the one whom the heart of the world remembereth and is promised in the books of God. I am the one whom the tongue of Isaiah hath extolled, the one with whose name both the Torah and the Evangel, the Gospels, were adorned.
Baha'u'llah was a descendant of Abraham, the father of the faithful. Baha'u'llah was descendant from Abraham through his third wife, Keturah. In the book of Genesis, God promises Abraham that one of his seed will inherit the land of Canaan in the last days. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it declares,
And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land.
The house where Baha'u'llah lived in Israel in his last days was once in the ancient land of Canaan. Yes. From the terraces of that building, you can look north toward the tip of Lebanon, the land where the ladder of Tyre is found, and the place which Abraham described as the spot chosen by God. In a letter written on the eve of his banishment from Turkey to that spot in ancient Canaan, Baha'u'llah declared,
Had Abraham attained it in this day, he too, falling prostrate upon the ground, would have cried, Mine heart is filled with peace, O thou Lord of all that is in heaven and on earth. I testify that thou hast unveiled before mine eyes all the glory of thy power and the full majesty of thy law.
Well, beloved friends, our time together is almost completely used up, and I can tell you no more. Still, I don't think I need to. On and on and on goes the marvelous account of this wonderful story of the coming of Baha'u'llah. It is a downpour, a shower of prophecies. I feel confident that by this time, many of those you are teaching, are eager to become Baha'i, are waiting to know what they must do to become a follower of Baha'u'llah, the glory of God.
Before we discuss that, let us share with you these two quotations. One is from Baha'u'llah and the other is from Isaiah. From Baha'u'llah, the Redeemer of men, we hear first.
O kings of Christendom, heard ye not the saying of Jesus, the Spirit of God, I go away and come again unto you? Wherefore then did ye fail, when he did come again unto you in the clouds of heaven, to draw nigh unto him, that ye might behold his face, and be of them that attained his presence? In another passage, he, Christ, saith, When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And yet, behold, when he did bring the truth, ye refused to turn your faces towards him, and persisted in disporting yourselves with your pastimes and fancies. Ye welcomed him not, neither did ye seek his presence, that ye might hear the verses of God from his own mouth, and partake of the manifold wisdom of the Almighty. Ye have, by reason of your failure, hindered the breath of God from being wafted over you, and have withheld from your soul the sweetness of its fragrance. End of quotation. For each person hearing the story of the coming of Baha'u'llah, this is the day of judgment. There is no turning back. And as Isaiah said, there is no place to flee to except him.
Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see.
Isaiah said that also. These two are the words of Isaiah, taken from chapter 43, verses 8 through 11. Isaiah declared,
Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, It is the truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am he. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, It is the truth. And I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. That's the story of Baha'u'llah. Well, beloved friends, our study class is over.
I've enjoyed every minute of it.
So have I.
I'm sorry it's all over, and I know that we are welcoming many of you now as fellow Baha'is, loving brothers and sisters in the world's greatest and most wonderful family.
Right now, you know, you've heard enough to recognize and accept Baha'u'llah. You can become part of Baha'u'llah's radiant spiritual army. If you have followed this study class all the way, you are ready. We suggest you talk to the Baha'is who are with you, and they'll tell you what steps to take next. We hope that many of you will join us, shoulder to shoulder, not next year or next month or next week, nor tomorrow, but right now, while the world needs you so desperately. The writings of the faith of Baha'u'llah declare, and I'm quoting now, Above all, the healing message of Baha'u'llah must be vividly, systematically brought to the attention of the masses in their hour of grief, misery, and confusion. There is no time to lose. The hour is ripe for the proclamation without fear, without reserve, and without hesitation, and on a scale never as yet undertaken, of the one message that can alone extricate humanity from the morass into which it is steadily sinking, and from which they who claim to be the followers of Baha'u'llah can and will eventually rescue it. Wouldn't you like to be a part of it?
But only if you truly believe in your heart in the truth of Baha'u'llah, that he is the Redeemer of men. If you do believe that, then we can all work together so that the sorrows and ills and unhappiness of the world may be changed into joy, hope, and confidence.
And that's why Baha'u'llah came into the world, so that through him, Baha'u'llah, the return of Christ, the Savior of men, the world might become one world, so that all mankind might live together as brothers in peace and security and happiness. so that all men might know and believe in their hearts that God is one and man is one, and all the religions are part of this one.